Hello, it's Aaron. Welcome back to the podcast. I have a special guest today, Luke Robson. He is the man behind Hillsdale Renaissance, which is a plan to revitalize the downtown of Hillsdale, Michigan. So Luke, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Aaron. This will be fun.
And he has a Substack where he's documenting what he's doing there. So I'll make sure that I put links to all of that in the show notes. You can check out the project that he's doing for yourself and subscribe to keep up with what's going on. You know, a lot of us know about Hillsdale College. It has a huge reputation. But what about the town of Hillsdale itself? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Hillsdale, it's a really interesting place. It's very historically important, actually, to the growth of America. As you said, most people know of Hillsdale or have heard of it because of Hillsdale College, which is, you know, seemingly doing better every single year than the year before. It's got nothing but growth ahead of it. And it's, you know, it's still a very culturally important institution. The town of Hillsdale, however, is it's seen better days. It's a small town, only about 8,000 people. I can't remember the size of the county off the top of my head. And the economy here is relatively depressed. I want to say the average salary hovers around $37,000. And it used to be a very industry. I think there were around 12 to 15 factories here at one point. And then, you know, with the hollowing out of middle of America, that really hit Hillsdale hard. Now there are only two or three factories left. And you can sort of see the remnants of what used to be as you go all around Hillsdale. Prior to that, Hillsdale was the end of the line. If you're going out of New York, if you're going west out of New York, when kind of in the frontier days, the government ran out of money as it was building the rail in Hillsdale. And so Hillsdale became this very important regional hub. You know, people would sort of move west to go make their fortunes out in, you know, out in the Dakotas or go even further than that. And then goods would flow back east from Hillsdale. So the original industries were wagon wheels, barrels, stuff like that, stuff that had to do with a lot of transportation.
Did the people heading west, did the people heading west actually transit through Hillsdale sometime, or did they go through a different route?
So they would come west on the train, and this is back when trains were kind of the best mode of rapid transportation. And so you'd get off in Hillsdale, you'd end up right downtown. One of my first purchases actually was the old freight house, where a lot of, you know, a lot of heavy machinery and stuff would get loaded on the trains, a lot of heavy loads. And yeah, so people were coming, goods were coming, animals were coming, all on the freight line. And this was back in the days before the government would just print off more money if it ran out. The government ran out of cash and they said, well, I guess Hillsdale is where we're going to be for a little while here. And you can find old railroad maps of, you know, everything features Hillsdale very heavily. It was such an important spot, actually. At one point there was a failed rail that was planned to be built, but when they were pitching it, it was the Detroit, Hillsdale, and Indiana Railroad that they were trying to get off the ground.
I'd never put those three in a sentence together.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely, it used to be a booming spot, and downtown reflects that. There are a lot of really gorgeous downtown buildings here that were built in the mid 1800s. And they, if you find pictures of Hillsdale in the 1850s, it was a really quite the place. You know, it looks like the glory days. I mean, the buildings are still here. A lot of them have undergone fires or experienced fires. So the building where my office sits, actually where I'm at right now, used to be the Smith Hotel, and it was a three-story building. Went back the entire, and I'm not quite sure when, I need to figure out yet when precisely it burnt down, but now the third floor is completely gone. And right outside my office, there's a window into a small courtyard, outdoor courtyard area, which is literally just the ruins of the Smith Hotel.
Hmm. So just a couple other questions about Hillsdale, just so people can get it in their mind. it's in Michigan, but like where in Michigan is it? Is it what is there any big city that it's near?
So if you got geographically, you've got the mitten here. Yeah. It's smack dab southern central Michigan. It's about 15 minutes north of the Indiana and Ohio borders. Closest large town would probably be either Lansing or Ann Arbor. It's in the middle of nowhere, but also not too far from anywhere. You can get to Detroit, Ann Arbor, Lansing, Kalamazoo, South Bend, and Fort Wayne, Indiana, all within 2 hours or less. It's about 3 hours. Yeah, about 3 hours, maybe a little bit more to get to Chicago. You can get to Indianapolis pretty readily. It's close, but it's been kind of passed by. It's been a detriment economically that when the interstate system came in, the interstate goes through Coldwater, which is about 30 miles or 30 minutes to the west of Hillsdale. And so Coldwater has experienced some good economic growth from having the interstate through it. But then it also has the, negative side effects of having an interstate run through it. So Hillsdale both hurts economically because it's missing any major highways, but it also has kept it quaint and I think really attractive to people who visit.
Hmm. And then if people are going to go to Hillsdale, like from around the country, where do you fly into to go to Hillsdale?
Most people fly into Detroit. You can fly into Grand Rapids if you'd like a smaller experience, or Lansing, or Chicago. Those are kind of the four places where people will fly in from. If you go to Detroit, it's about a 90-minute drive from the airport to Hillsdale. So it's relatively remote. A lot of people, though, because it's on the East Coast, I'm from North Dakota originally, so to me, anything under 4 hours is a pretty close drive. These numbers, to me, it feels like it's really close to everything. If you want to take a day trip to Detroit or Chicago, it's really not that big of a deal. But the closest place, the place where most people go, would be Detroit.
When I thought of Hillsdale, I think, again, of the college. And Larry Aron has been a fundraising phenom. And they've got so many beautiful new buildings. They've got their new chapel. And my assumption is that because it's sort of this conservative Harvard, if you want to call it that, or aspirational conservative Harvard, Hillsdale just must be posh as a town. But you're telling me like the downtown and a lot of the town's actually very depressed.
Yeah, you can find very posh structures up the hill, or that's what we say when we talk about the college, you talk about going up the hill. The college is at the top of a hill, so you can sort of see it from kind of almost wherever you are in town. Up the hill, they have really nice facilities. They just broke ground and are starting construction on a brand new building for their Masters of Classical Education program. They're adding on to their library. They're expanding the size of Central Hall, the Central Administrative Building. And they're creating a whole new experience with the quad, kind of in line with the character of the Great Chapel that was just built not that long ago. If you visit campus, it looks wonderful. And you can certainly, find great houses. There's historic old houses that people have kept up and they look great. But if you're moving off campus as a student, you're probably moving into a pretty cheap, kind of low budget affair generally. Rents are quite low here. People, if you're in town, people feel like, oh, rents keep going up, but there's the average rent probably hovers around $1,000, something like that. It's really quite affordable, especially if you have remote work or something where you can be remote. There's a guy I just met who's a Delta pilot, so he just drives to Detroit and he's in Detroit, half the month. He and his wife moved here, and they're really benefiting from economical real estate prices. But the town, it's because it's been depressed, because industry's left, the majority of houses have seen better days, and to the extent that they've undergone renovation, the new renovations that are happening are generally quite nice, but the renovations that have happened in prior decades were low budget affairs, and it tends to show.
So what are you trying to do with your Hillsdale Renaissance project?
Yeah, so I started Hillsdale Renaissance because I was at law school at Notre Dame, and halfway through that, ended up through some circumstances outside of my control, I ended up with a large pile of cash. And I realized, oh, I can just pay lawyers now. I don't need to be one. What do I do with this? And I figured, you know, if you end up with a big pile of cash, you can live off of interest. And I could have done that for the rest of my life quite comfortably. The route I chose to take is take a big swing on this town that my wife and I really came to love during our 4 years at Hillsdale. My wife, I'm a 2017 grad of Hillsdale. My wife, Emma, is a 2020 grad of Hillsdale. And we both really fell in love with the town in general and the surrounding environment. So at Notre Dame, I'm finishing up law school. I'm trying to figure out, what do I do? I decide, you know, I have this money, I have that to offer. And Hillsdale is a place that I think it could do really well if it just receives a big influx of cash and a sort of a animating idea behind that influx of cash. So to that end, I've picked up about 18 properties in downtown Hillsdale, all within probably about a quarter mile of each other. And I'm setting about trying to create an investment fund and bring in as much external investment as possible, in the hopes of completely restoring the downtown. A lot of that will be, you know, making sure that the brickwork is done up again, restoring the apartment spaces. A lot of the square footage that I've picked up, about half of it is unusable right now due to mismanagement. Needs to be completely overhauled and made tenantable again. Get all that back up to snuff. Perhaps even put third floors back on some of these buildings downtown. A lot of the third floors have burnt off. So restore those, get those back going, and see where it goes. The way I see it, towns thrive because of one of four different sources of revenue. You always need outside dollars coming in. You know, that's sort of the best way to expand the economic prospects of town. So there's industry that you can do that via industry. You can do that via transportation, via politics, and then tourism are kind of the four different legs that I think work to get external investment into a town. Like I mentioned before, the industry's left, the transportation is greatly diminished, especially relative to neighboring communities. We have a little bit of politics. Hillsdale's the county seat, so there's a little bit that goes on with that, but it's not driving a ton of revenue. So that leaves tourism. And so my thought was, or is, that Hillsdale College is here, and by virtue of Hillsdale College, the town has a sliver of millions of people's minds sort of across the globe these days. Hillsdale's become such a recognized brand. And so how can I capture that to drive more people coming into town? Hillsdale does the college does a great job already of bringing people in. Over 70,000 people visit the college annually. But those are highly specific times. And then when, so you graduation, you have commencement, you have sort of that your spring breaks and stuff like that. Or there are various events that go on to bring people in. The college hosts these things called CCAs, or Centers for Constructive Alternatives, where it's about a week long, and they have various speakers coming in on various topics to give lectures, and those are very well attended. They have training for classical school teachers and administrators throughout the summer. So they already drum up a good amount of activity, but let's expand that. Let's make Hillsdale an even bigger pie, or a bigger pool for people of a conservative bent to sort of swim around in and get to know each other. So to that end, I'm looking at the model of Chautauqua, New York. They have the Chautauqua Institution there, which is a 760-acre campus that focuses mostly on progressive ends, but every summer over 100,000 people show up and stick around, and it's a vacation for these people. And during these summers, they have over 100 speakers. Each week is its own theme, and you know, it ranges from domestic issues to geopolitics. I think one of their themes was just games in the home. For a whole week, they talked about that stuff. and people love it. It's a really well done production. They get great speakers to come in, and they have their own ballet, their own orchestra, opera company. They're really doing it well, but it's all from a progressive bent. It's all got that sort of liberal aim in mind, which is all fine and well. They enjoy it, but from what I can tell, there isn't anything like this for conservatives. You can sort of go out to DC, and you can go to different think tank events out there, but those are still quite siloed. They do a decent job of speaking with one another, but I don't know if you've been to many think tank events in DC, but you sort of show up with your team or your friends, and you listen to the person lecture, and maybe there's a happy hour afterwards, but then you just go home or back to the office or whatever. It's not the most collaborative or reflective event. Most of them aren't. So my thought was, okay, can we turn Hillsdale into this for the conservative movement? Can every think tank in DC and across America have something of a foothold in Hillsdale, where each summer we're coming out here and actually spending a bit more time together and being a bit more conversational and reflective and helping each other better understand how to live with conservative ends in mind?
Yeah, so you bought 18 buildings already in downtown Hillsdale. And do you know how many buildings there are total? Like what share of it you?
We identified about 80 buildings in the downtown district. Some of that is a bit generous. I've picked up a good number of the key buildings. So if there are 80 buildings, that means I have almost 25%. I'll be picking up at least one or two more here coming months, so that I will have at least 20% of the downtown core. And the buildings that I've picked up tend to be a bit more important and prominent for downtown.
You know, it was interesting. I did a little looking about a similar project some people were undertaking in Van Wert, Ohio. And this was being spearheaded by the Community Foundation. One of their most historic buildings just literally collapsed one day and got kind of sent the town a little bit of a panic. They're like, we need to do something about our crumbling downtown. And so the Community Foundation basically bought up half of the buildings. I think there were 100 buildings in downtown, and they were able to acquire 50. And it was remarkable to me how cheap it was to acquire that property. Because, as you said, a lot of these buildings are unusable. The upper floors aren't being used for anything. They need enormous repairs. Rents aren't very high. It's actually, in some respects, more expensive to buy a house than a commercial building, which seems like it would intuitively cost like a lot of money. Was that the case in Hillsdale too, that these buildings weren't like prohibitively, I guess you bought them, so.
Yeah, the majority of buildings were not very expensive. I think my average purchase price is somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000 for a building. Some of them were a bit more than that. My most expensive purchase so far was $500,000, but that was for a 78,000 square foot building and several silos right next to it that are made out of concrete, and so a huge square footage pickup there. But yeah, it's pretty cheap right now. So with the leases that I've inherited, I've quickly discovered that it is cheaper to rent a business downtown in the commercial spaces than it is to actually live in one of the apartments. The average lease that I picked up for the commercial spaces is around $1,000 a month, and then the average apartment rentals probably close to 1,200 a month. So it's
Wow.
really it's been depressed, and it needs to be buffed up, and those rent numbers need to increase a little bit. But a lot of the project is really just, like I said, getting that square footage back under control and usable again. And so rents don't really even need to increase that much for the project to be substantially profitable. It's just a matter of getting it all to work.
Yeah, I mean, I that would just blow my mind that you could buy a commercial building on like the main street of downtown that's got like offices or apartments upstairs in theory. Down, it's like $100,000. Like, That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, in theory, you'd have offices and whatnot upstairs.
Exactly.
I'll give you I'll give you an insight into one of the buildings we're currently renovating an apartment space in, and we knew that the roof needed work, and so we had a roofer go up, and he drilled a core down to see, you know, kind of how extensive the roofing system was and what was there. He hits what he thought was the deck of the roof, and comes back and he says it'll be about $50,000 to replace the whole roof. He then begins to actually do the work, cuts down, and realizes that the deck that he had hit was a false deck, and the previous owner had been illegally roofing over the top of it. And so what we thought was, you know, maybe three layers of roofing ended up being closer to seven, I think.
Hmm.
And we cleared off 35,000 pounds of roofing material.
Wow.
On several roll-off dumpsters. We're a little worried that, you know, the building's just going to float away now that all this roofing isn't keeping it held down. But there's every building I pick up, there's something like that. That's a bigger scale. That turned a $50,000 project into an $80,000 project just for the roof. But every building has something like that. And I think a lot of that's because the town, like I've mentioned, has been economically depressed. People haven't been able to afford those fixes, but then people have also been treating these buildings like side hustles or passive income and not treating them professionally. And so when the time comes to actually tear off the roof and lay down new roofing, they don't have the cash to do it the proper way. The Van Wert project that you mentioned, is a consulting firm out of Fort Wayne that helped the Community Foundation with that project. And that is run by a Hillsdale grad, Eric Doden.
I didn't know Eric was a Hillsdale grad. He's running for governor of Indiana today. So this is the guy who's... He's running for governor of Indiana, but he loves redeveloping small towns.
Yeah, he has a real passion for places like Van Wert, places like Hillsdale, and he's doing a great job. And I'm partnering with him on this project. Pago is consulting and helping me get all of the grants and tax credits lined up and helping arrange for the construction as well. And so Eric has been a really great partner, and I'm really glad that he's doing what he's doing, and I hope he does well in Indiana.
Yeah. I mean, that's his plan for governor, is to rebuild Indiana's small towns using similar similar approaches. So are you, like, I know in Van Wert, like, their first tranche is they took like 12 buildings and essentially did top to bottom complete rehabs to bring them up to like pristine. Is that your plan? Or are you going to do more incremental repairs like the roof?
So it depends on the building. You can sort of classify buildings A, B, or C. An A grade building you take and maybe you need to put some lipstick on it, but it's pretty much good to go. There are a couple of buildings here that I picked up that are of that level. That's the vast minority though. A B grade is more substantial. Maybe you don't need to tear the whole thing apart and redo it. But you're looking at, you know, $100 a square foot or something like that for renovations. The C grade buildings, we're picking up quite a number of those, and those are, you know, kind of from the ground up, we're going to redo it, keep the facade on, and try and keep as much as we can of the structure. But there's no guarantee that the structure in general gets to stick around. Those are going to be very extensive, and there's one corridor in town right now where we have several of these buildings lined up next to each other. That'll be our phase one. We're still waiting to come through with negotiations on a couple buildings in that corridor, but I'm optimistic that that will happen. And once it does, we'll have, I think it's close to 40,000 square feet receiving that kind of top to bottom approach.
Yeah, well, I think it would be really, like, amazing to just take, like, come into a small town like a Hillsdale, buy up the property, see the potential that's there, say, we're going to fix it up. There's a lot of things you can't do. Conjuring up a new economy is hard, for example. But, if you have money, you can repair real estate. And so it definitely makes a huge difference, too, when you go into the downtown of a town and see like well-maintained buildings or like freshly renovated buildings. It just gives a whole new vibe to the place. And if you get enough of them, you know, you get a critical mass, you can make an impact on the town, and you get the benefits that you're generating from renovating these properties. Your other properties go up in value even before you renovate them, as you're making making the town better. So you're you own 18 properties. You're putting together the first stage of renovations. You got to do it. You're interested in cultural programming, obviously, but from a business perspective, what specifically are you hoping will go into some of these things?
Sorry, into the buildings or the programming?
Into the buildings. The buildings or the programming? Like how are you you know, thinking it's going to be once the buildings are done? What's going to be in them?
It'll be a lot more apartments. We'll have a lot more people living downtown. There's a new hotel that's being built downtown as well that I'm not a part of that project, but that's its own $17 million project that's going to be right at the heart of downtown. So in addition to more apartments going up, we could maybe do a master lease agreement with that hotel and give them, right now that hotel has 35 rooms planned. If I, you know, take a couple floors of a building and say master lease to the hotel, that's kind of a win-win because then I have steady income there and the hotel, it doesn't cost them anything to add on more rooms as far as personnel is concerned until they, I don't know how many rooms they can have before having to add on a new employee, but it's right now with 35 rooms, they can add on quite a few more. So we'll have more long-term residential and then more short-term residential downtown as well. And then as far as the commercial buildings are concerned, with the commercial tenants, I'm less certain on what to be attracting on that front. You want to attract people who are interested in your town specifically and interested in investing and being a part of the community. But as far as types of businesses are concerned, I'm relatively ambivalent as to what businesses go in. That said, there are kind of boundaries that I won't go into. It's legal to sell weed in Michigan generally, but the city of Hillsdale voted to not allow that in the town. But even if that were allowed in town, I'm not interested in having a weed store in one of my buildings. Stuff like nightclubs, or, you know, I turned down somebody who was hoping to put in a crystal store for a commercial space. Stuff like that. I'm not quite sure what it's either I'm unsure about the moral valence of the product being offered, or I definitely know that it's a negative moral valence. Stuff like that I'm going to keep out, but as far as what actually goes in, you know, as long as you sort of meet a pretty low bar of morality, I'm happy to let you operate. I'm also hoping to have, now that I think about this more, there's room for more conference space. The idea of the conservative Chautauqua, we need more conference space for that. And you can turn the downtown into a kind of a living, breathing thing. There does need to be a nice restaurant in town right now. There are a couple restaurants that are okay. There's nothing that's really nice. And so getting a genuine 4.5-5-star restaurant downtown would be wonderful. In this large old mill property that I've purchased, I'm looking to start a ecclesiastical trade school, we're calling it, in there, kind of in the vein of the American College of the Building Arts in Charleston, South Carolina. And we'll likely be partnering with ACBA actually on towards that end. And we just started a board for that, and we're going to be trying to attract some donors and figure out how to get a school going. Turns out it's incredibly difficult to start a college in most states, but it's which is kind of bizarre considering how easy it is in a lot of states to start a K-12 school. You'd think it'd be flipped, but we're already bumping into some legal issues trying to start that school, but, you know, we'll just keep muddling through until it happens. But that'll be hopefully 500 students. I'm not sure how many hundreds of jobs that could provide. And then the idea for that school is the graduates of it can build you a cathedral. So it's not standard HVAC and mechanical. We're talking stonemasonry, brick masonry, timber framing, finished carpentry, stained glass, decorative finishing, blacksmithing, stuff like that, the really durable trades that will last you hundreds, if not thousands of years, rather than the trades that simply go into a building that'll last for maybe 30.
Hmm. What do the people in Hillsdale think of what you're doing here?
I was a little worried about that moving in. The people of Hillsdale, they're wonderful. I really love meeting the people here and talking to them and being their neighbor is it's been incredibly welcoming, actually. But I have had friends that have tried to invest in certain projects, and they've received pushback. The people in Hillsdale, they're very skeptical of outside money coming in for investment projects. But if you choose to be their neighbor, it's and live with them, they love you forever. So right now, my wife and I, we live right downtown. We rent an I own 18 buildings, and I rent an apartment from somebody else. But we'll be building a house in town, and or right on the edge of town. And we're here for the long haul. We're building a house, and then hopefully buying a grave plot after that. And so I'm very comfortable telling people that. And once they hear that, if they have any skepticism, and I tell them, I'm doing all this because I want to be your neighbor and I want to be a good neighbor, they're very, very welcoming.
Lesson number one: buy a grave plot in the town, and then they'll dig it. What about your relationship with the school?
It's been a good relationship. They aren't involved formally with my project at all, but I keep them up to date on what's going on, and they're interested. And I'm sure at some point they'll be interested in using one or multiple spaces for their own ends. The school was relatively recently gifted a winery in California, I think. And so they're considering the idea of having a wine store downtown, and so there's potential to perhaps work with them on that. They receive updates every month about what's going on, and it's been very encouraging. They Dr. Arne really likes the idea of the ecclesiastical trade school going in, and I'm hoping that we'll have a symbiotic relationship with Hillsdale College. But so far, it's just been very welcoming, and they're great cheerleaders.
So far, how has it gone for you personally? You had this idea of here's the project I'm going to take on. I've got some money. Sometimes you just run right into a buzzsaw. Like you don't know what you're getting into. Like how are you feeling so far? Were there any real like, oh my goodness, this is going to be like 20 times harder than I thought moments?
Nothing's
Now you're not done yet, so
nothing's
I still
harder. It's simply that it's not so much that anything's going to be harder than I thought, other than I think the school project's going to be harder than I thought. Although who knows, maybe the state will love the idea and we'll breeze right through that approval process. I don't know. But a guy can hope. But I knew getting into this that there was going to be a ton of stuff that I don't know. This is my first time running a business. This is, I graduated from undergrad, and I went and worked for the governor of Nebraska, and then again for the governor of North Dakota, and then I went to law school. So no real business experience to speak of before getting involved with this. And so there were definitely early mistakes. There's one building I actually regret picking up. I don't know how to turn it around in a way that actually makes sense. There were a couple of leases that I made early on where I was trying to be generous with the terms, and in hindsight, I realized I was really generous with the terms, and I'll be eating those costs for potentially up to 2 or 3 years. And at the end of the day, like, it's frustrating to have done stuff like that, but it's a learning experience, and we're getting better. My first large construction project here, a renovation project, I was living in North Dakota at the time. I was starting up Capstone Classical Academy, which is the first classical Christian school to partner with Hillsdale College, actually, with their K-12 initiative. And that went really well, but I was trying to, once a month get back to Hillsdale and manage construction and stuff like that. And that just went horribly. I mean, and the renovation's looking great. I shouldn't, dog on myself too much. It looks wonderful in there, and I think it will look really great once the tenant's in and operational. But it took about a month and a half longer than it was supposed to. There are definitely costs that could have been saved that I just didn't know what I was doing. My relationship with all the contractors involved is good, but definitely I'm sure they would appreciate clearer and more on-time communication. So I realized, I don't really know what I'm doing with all this stuff. So to that end, I hired on a business manager to handle that stuff, perhaps a little bit earlier than I thought I would. And you may have to spend money before you can make money. So decided, okay, I need to spend a little bit more money before I can make money. But it's gone well. We took the early lumps, but we're on a pretty clear path towards profitability now. I think within a year, we'll be making a moderate profit, and then that will be building on itself. That'll allow me to give my employees raises and benefits, take on an executive assistant, and use that profit to reinvest into some of these projects rather than drawing out of my trust.
Yeah. Now, I think technically you're a millennial, but your wife might be Gen Z, or she's on the border.
Yeah,
But
I think she's technically a millennial as well, but it's real close.
yeah. And so, but you fit the pattern that I've seen with some of these Gen Z people, that it's a different mentality than older generations, because I think there's like an energy, there's an optimism, there's a positivity, there's a desire to build things. And, I think 10 or 15 years ago, somebody in your situation would have immediately moved to Brooklyn and just be hanging out and doing what else. And to see like young people who come into some money saying, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to go rebuild a small town in America. And like actually going and trying to make that happen. I mean, I think that's like the positive things that are going on in the country. We think about a lot of the negative things that are going on, but if we're actually going to, quote unquote, make America great again, somebody's got to actually devote their time, money, resources, and make a commitment to a place, to fall in love with a particular place, and make that happen. And we'll see how it goes in Hillsdale, but I think it's like great with a college there. Everybody knows Hillsdale at some level just because of that. I think it's great stuff you're working on there, and I wish you the best of luck and hope it's massively successful.
Thank you. No, I read your post on the sort of Gen Z shift that you think you're picking up on, and I tend to agree with you on that. For so many people of my generation and the generation beneath me, you see on the surface a lot of cynicism. But that cynicism, I think, it's one of the few times where it's appropriately placed, where we look at what, a lot of people have built before us and or destroyed before us. And so, yeah, Gen Z millennials are getting married at a lower clip, and having really, they're less likely to have been in a serious relationship, and they're less likely to get married young. But a lot of that's because we look around and, our parents, not my parents, luckily I've grown up in a married household, but the divorce rate's what now, 50, 60%, something like
It's
that.
actually only
And
40%. It's down. It's actually down,
oh,
but it's still pretty high, though.
okay. But it's incredibly high, and everybody knows several people generally whose parents are divorced, and so they look at the prospects of love within the bonds of marriage, and they say, okay, the sort of models set up for us are not great in that regard. When it comes to education, I mean, look at all the educational institutions around the country that are completely cratered, morally speaking, and leading people in all the wrong directions, and promoting rampant individualism and just gross forms of perversion of morality. That's sort of the thing that's being pushed nationwide these days. And so, kids are fed up with that, but then they encounter something that's teaching something real someplace like Hillsdale or one of the classical schools. New St. Andrews is doing great work with this as well, where they've just maintained the tradition of studying what's real and giving people a great liberal arts education, which at the end of the day is just a education in how to love the real well. And they love it. They latch on. They're all in. It might take a little bit of time to convince these kids that there is something worth living for, but as soon as they see it, they run towards it with, people our age, my age, really desire to love something true and good and beautiful, and they're willing to work for it too. I mean, I'm a convert to the Orthodox Church because I grew up Protestant, and the Protestant churches that I grew up attending had given up on any sort of serious demands of their adherents. It's sort of Lent rolls around, and if your church is even celebrating or doing Lent and participating in that season, the extent that there's any sort of sacrifices made, it's like, okay, I gave up chocolate for 40 days. Kids look at that, and if they're paying attention, they realize that can't be it. God demands that we work, and work to build something real and take care of his kingdom and preserve it for the next generation. And once we realize that that's possible, we'll do it. And so it's a cynical generation, but I think cynical for a lot of the right reasons, plenty of wrong reasons as well. But it's definitely it's got a lot of potential, and it's going to go a great place. I think we're going to do great things.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, it's one thing to be clear-eyed and realistic about where we are, but how you respond to that is really, I think, the way it is. And, I love what you're trying to do there, what you actually are doing. And,
Thank you.
we have a generation of people doing things like that. Not everybody's going to have necessarily your resources, but within their span of what they have, if everybody starts doing that, we can start moving this place in a better direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, everybody has the potential and the capacity to and the ability to love something well and properly. And it's just a matter of figuring out, okay, how can I do that? What's the scope of responsibility of love that I can take on? And okay, I'll do that. And then maybe that expands. Maybe it doesn't. Who knows? But as long as you're loving something, it's a life well lived.
Well, Luke, thank you for joining me. Again, Luke Robson is running Hillsdale Renaissance. This man is in the middle of trying to rebuild downtown Hillsdale. Again, I'll put some links in the show notes where you can sign up for his Substack and keep track of what's going. Thanks so much for joining, Luke.
Thank you, Aaron. This is great.